We'll have our scripture reading.
The scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 30. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in his age and in his age to come eternal life."
Thank you, Jess. Give thanks for the word of God today, and I want to take a moment and give thanks for four individuals that gathered at the Union Avenue United Methodist Church over by Mount Union yesterday. Four individuals that represented you, the Otterbein United Methodist Church. Yes, only four. And I invite you to thank them today when you see them: Kenny Brown, Doris Brown, Ed Cochran, or Marilyn Maddox. Taking time to represent this church, and I appreciate that. And as we go forward, it's important that maybe others in the church leadership would find that these meetings for the United Methodist Church are extremely important, business of the church. And we would hate for something to happen at those meetings that you wouldn't agree with and you wouldn't be there to pass opinion or have the opportunity to vote on. You know, one church in particular, trustee had to stand up, make the motion to sell their parsonage. You know, hopefully they talked about that, and those that were there, only a handful, were prepared for that vote. But anything could come up. Anything could come up and be voted on, and it would be in the charge conference minutes. So always be aware of these church meetings and how important that they are for you, the church. You, the church. And we are Methodists. Methodists are very, very good at checking off all the boxes. Methodists love having that type of plan. An A through Z plan where you have a checklist and you just check it off. Boom, I'm done, I'm good, I'm holy, I should be sealed. Signed and sealed, my name should be in the book of heaven, right? Well, there is more to life and more to the Christian work, life and work of Christ and checking off the boxes. It's kind of like a couple. They get married, they begin life, and there's hopefully that early in life they come to a point in time they want to make some life plans. Plan for a retirement, plan family planning, planning for children, planning for college, and all those type of things. And as you think about retirement and that early planning, checking off all the boxes is really important to make that happen. That couple, they plan, they prepare, and they go through life checking off all the boxes. And finally, they get to retirement. And they may have health and wealth and good years ahead of them. But retirement comes, and then all too sudden, the wife realizes that there is a very, very, very real bad problem. You know what that problem is? Are you ready for it? There's twice as much husband and half as much money. Twice as much husband and only half the money. Ladies, you can say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Here we are looking at this Luke chapter 18, a little passage also can be found in Matthew 19 and Mark as well, Mark chapter 10, you can read about it as well. These three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they retell this story. They have their own adjectives, they have their own viewpoints, but it's still the same gist of a story. It's going to speak to you differently depending on your age, your chapter of life, and your perspective on life and where you are. But throughout these passages, we find this young, rich ruler, and any combination of these things, meaning that he was a man of wealth, but yet he was also a man that had a desire for piety. He had this desire for piety, and it was seen by the authors. It was seen and heard by those who were standing around. And it was written in God's Word, the Holy Bible, for us today as well. This individual, he had done everything. He'd done everything that needed to be done up to that point of his life. He was living life by checking off all the boxes. He was doing well. But he was ready for more. He was ready for more than what the boxes offered. He was ready for more than what the world was offering him. And he comes across and he finds Jesus and he asks Jesus, "Good teacher." Gets his attention. "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And a priceless question that it is. By someone who had everything, someone that had the money that he needed, he still asked the question. He wasn't complete. There was still emptiness. Jesus did not get caught up in the question, but yet in Jesus' fashion, and only as Jesus does, and as Jesus did for so often, and as he still does, he asked a question. He asked, "Why do you call me good? Why do you come up to me and call me good?" Well, the rich guy, I'm sure, was walking up and he was thinking, "Oh man, I'm going to buddy up with Jesus here. I'm going to buddy up, butter him up, have this little conversation. He's going to tell me some good things. He's going to boost my ego." So he gets up there to Jesus, tells him how good of a teacher he is and how he was. And he's hoping that Jesus would slap him on the back and say, "Bring it in, brother. Oh, yeah, got it. Yeah, bring it in." He's hoping for that slap on the back, say, "Oh, man, you got it good. You're doing well. You're healthy. You're well. You're wealthy. You're living right. You're living right, man. You're getting it right." You've heard the expression, "Live right and you will feel right." You've heard that? I would hear it back in the meat shop that I worked in for a few years. One of the meat cutters there, he's just like, that was his motto for day, "Live right, feel right." But yet he lived for the day and he died at a young age because he lived it up. He lived life up. Money, women, boats, Lake Erie, fishing, he lived it up, and everything else in between that goes with all those things. Not that those things are bad, but that's how he lived up life, to feel right, to feel good. But his life was very short. Here we have this rich guy feeling pretty good, chatting it up with Jesus. And there Jesus says, "Boy, you know the commandments." And he's like, "Yeah, yeah." Verse 21, he says, "Yeah, I know all the commandments. I've kept all these commandments since I was a little boy. I'm your man, Jesus. I'm doing it all right. I got all the boxes checked off." But then Jesus gets real with him. Jesus gets real and gets in his face and says, "You lack one thing. You lack one thing, young man." But Jesus doesn't give him a chance to ask a question or to even think about it. Jesus keeps on speaking by saying, "Sell everything. Sell everything, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Then come follow me." And I'm sure it was a shock and awe in his face. I'm sure it was one of those, "Check, please, I'm out of here." That bada boom, bada bang, it's not what I wanted to hear. And just like that rich guy was feeling so good, on top of life, on top of the world, living right, feeling good. He didn't get the slap on the back. He got slapped, the jack slap in the face, because of the truth that Jesus had for him. Verse 23, when he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Very sad. And Jesus is not even done yet. Jesus is not even done yet with him. Jesus looking him in the eyes and getting in his face, it says, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The Mr. Cool, rich guy, living life, he had mastered the letter of the law. He had mastered the technique of checking off all the boxes, making sure everything was in order. Check off that box. Check that off. He had lived his life in that way. One by one, he was living the letter of the law, the life of the world. But he was not living, and he was not ready to live a life surrendered to God. He was not ready for that surrendered life for God. He was not ready for that Spirit of God to take over all of him. He got all the physical things down pat. He got it all up here, and he got it over here on the checklist. But he didn't have it down here. He didn't have it in his heart. He didn't have the attitude to surrender. Because he didn't have the attitude to surrender, there wasn't even a thought about following Jesus. He couldn't see past the surrender. He couldn't see past what would mean to follow Jesus. He wasn't even comprehending long term. He wasn't thinking about the one day that would be better than 1,000 that he was living on earth right now. Yes, Jesus comes off demanding. Yes, Jesus has expectations. Yes, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And so what happens? Jesus is in the world. There's other people around. What do we read in verse 26? We read that there are bystanders. Yes, bystanders, people standing around. People with eagle ears just trying to hear. Don't want to be seen, but let me hear what's going on so I can voice my opinion over here and lash out from a distance. So we got these bystanders. They're listening in. They're seeing what's happening. They throw up their hands. Well then, who then can be saved? Crying out loud, this guy can't be saved. Who can be saved? A camel can't go through the eye of a needle. So no, how can anyone be saved? Can you hear it? Can you imagine it? People throwing up their arms and kicking stones and kicking the dust. I can just see it. Their human eyes and their human heart and the desire of the flesh, they think, of course not. Of course not. No way that camel can do that. That can't happen. But the loving Jesus, the all-caring Jesus, the all-knowing Jesus, the all-in-all-things Jesus, he is the one that doesn't leave you in despair. He's the one that encourages you as you contemplate, do I want to live over here in this despair and hands throwed up and there's no way, no how? Or do I want to say, Jesus, how do I get there? Jesus, help me take that next step. And Jesus is there to encourage them and encourage us out of the depths of our human despair and hand-wringing and turmoil and disappointment. In verse 27, what's he say? What is impossible for man is possible with God. He's like, guys, you're right. You can't do it. You'll never go through that eye of the needle. You're not going to get that camel through the eye of the needle. It's not possible. You can't do it on your own ability. To surrender your life is to give and let go and let God come along beside you and let Him to take hold of things. The rich guy had lived his life by checking off all the boxes, and Jesus gives him two more to check off. If you're so good at checking off boxes, Jesus is saying, here's two more boxes to check off. Give up everything, sell everything, give it to the poor, then come follow me. Two more boxes and you're almost there. Two more boxes and you're almost there. The thought of selling everything and the thought of giving it up, giving it to, Scripture says, poor. Doesn't matter where you give it to. The first challenge for all of us, especially here in America, would be, how would we give it up? If we can get past that, all right, I will give it up, I'll sell it, I'll give it away, I set it aside. But then we struggle with, well, where's it going to go? Who's going to get it? You know, we talked about that a few weeks ago, remember? That passage? Because we are control freaks when it comes to things of this earth. Especially when we get, it starts at this age down here, we tell our children that they're squabbling or something. We say, that belongs to so-and-so. Give it back to your brother, it's his. Give it back to your sister, it's theirs. And it's like, yeah, right, that's mine. And we do that all through teenage years, into our 20s, and our whole life, claiming what's mine and clinging to it. No one better touch it. No one better break it. Nobody better take it. And I know it's a whole another angle for a sermon, but that giving up everything, but also then, where's it going to go? Should we even be worried about it? If we're willing to give it up, why are we worrying about where it's going to go? If Jesus is here with us to give it up, He's going to be over there making sure it goes where He wants it to go. And if somebody takes advantage of it, it's on them. They're going to have to answer for it on Judgment Day. But we're over here making sure we're doing what we've done. Now we've checked off the box God has told us to check off. And then we go, we get to, then come follow me. So many people never get to that point. This young rich ruler, he never got there. He never got there to even give it consideration. And there's many in the church that are checking off all the boxes, but they've not gotten to the come follow me. Larry Burkett, he was a Christian financial specialist, had radio programs and books and a financial program, just like Dave Ramsey, but he's just another Dave Ramsey. And he's well known, and you can look him up and still get his resources if you like them. But he said, his name's Larry Burkett, and I quote, "We are so caught up in making more and buying bigger things that we have lost most of our thrust to reach the unsaved world." End quote. We've got so caught up in making more and buying bigger things that we have lost most of our thrust to reach the unsaved world. End quote. And that's what we have as we continue to read. Verse 28. There's Peter. He's in the crowd. He's listening in. He's watching. He jumps in. He says, "Lord, look over here, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Peter over here." And what's he say? "Look at us, Lord, we're your disciples. We've left everything to follow you." Lord, quit looking at him. Quit talking to him. Look over here. We're your guys. We have left everything to follow you. Look at me. Look at us. We gave it up, and now we're here. I do this, and I gave this, and I did that, and I give this and that. Again, so easy to get caught up and saying, "Lord, look at all these boxes I'm checking off for you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, doing it for you, Lord." Checking off each of the boxes, human visible boxes, human ideas. But Jesus says, "Come follow me." the rich guy, if he had only surrendered all, if only he had come back to follow Jesus, that would have been a blessing. He forgot why he asked the question in the first place, doggone it. He asked the question because there was a void in his heart and life because he was incomplete. He had everything, but he is sad as sad can be. He had everything, but yet disappointed in all of it. There was no contentment, even though he had everything. He'd forgotten why the conversation had even started. But if he would have surrendered all, if he would have come back to follow Jesus, there would have been a blessing, not just eternal, but the blessing would have began at that very moment for that heart void, for a completeness, for the joy of the Lord. And then there would have been other things. Other things would have come along as God would continue to mold and shape him. There had been other blessings. He would have had God moments. And there have been moments, I'm sure, it's like the world would have seen, there goes that rich young ruler, but he gave it all, but look how happy he is now. He's a Christian now. He is living for the Lord. He's serving the Lord. And he doesn't need all that worldly junk, does he? There would have been blessing Christ moments like that in his life. Because Jesus does not lead people to poverty and leave them there with nothing. That's not what Scripture says. What's it say in verse 30? If you give up everything and come, surrender, come follow me, says, we'll receive many times as much in this age and the age to come, eternal life. Many times as much. And there's other Bible stories about that, from the Old Testament and New Testament. Noah, Job, the list goes on. Things that they lost, but the Lord, they remain faithful, and the Lord, he reimburses well. The Lord reimburses so well that we can never outgive him. We can never do more than what the Lord does. He's never asked us to do more than what he has given us. He's not going to ask you to give more than what he's given you. So as we go forth today, I hope that we want to go forth checking off important boxes like we're going to praise the Lord for what he provides, and we're going to praise the Lord for what is yet to come. Better is one day in his court and in his house than 1,000 elsewhere. Let us pray. Father God, these passages of Scripture that really come at us about financial things, worldly possessions, living life, and following you. A lot of these things can really conflict with one another. And yes, we cannot handle it in our own human strength or energy or knowledge. For it is impossible with us, Lord. But it is possible with you, Father God. It is possible for you to work within each and every one of us and as a body of believers and as a church to fully check the boxes of the ministry that are before us, the ones that you want to have completed according to thy will for the eternal work that is before us. Because that work has eternal consequences, either for those going to heaven and in that celebration, or for those not getting the message and missing out. I don't want anyone to miss out, Lord, and I know you don't either, and I pray that we'd be a church that does not want anyone to miss out and does not want anyone to fall away and that does not want to be a stumbling block for those that are close to the edge. Father God, I ask for thy Holy Spirit to truly embrace us for as time as this and the journey that is before us. For your glory, your kingdom, for our benefit right here and now on this earth, in this community, I pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.